Last week, the Supreme Court declared affirmative action policies in college and university admissions unconstitutional. Now questions are arising over whether the court's decision will affect diversity efforts in the workplace. Joining us now to talk about this, best-selling author, speaker, and nationally known expert on those diversity efforts is Victoria Peltier. Victoria, good morning. Welcome to Talk 107.3. How you doing?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks for having me.
No, glad to have you on. Glad to be talking about this because I can't help but think the fallout or the spillover from last week's ruling might fly in the face of other rulings. What's your immediate takeaway after the Supreme Court's ruling last week?
Well, besides sheer disappointment in that decision, I am very much worried about what this is going to mean for the pipeline for companies who've been so focused on creating diverse, inclusive environments over the next number of years.
Okay. Your answer to that tells me so much about where this interview is going to go. Because I feel like this was in Louisiana. There's not a college that has anything other than merit-based inclusion when it comes to college admissions. And the Supreme Court last week also ruled in Alabama and Louisiana, we're required now to have a second majority minority voting district for our congressional district in both states. So the Supreme Court, to me, looked at college admissions and says, forced diversity is no longer needed here. You've grown up. You've matured to the point of where it's a non-factor now. However, in the corporate workplace, I don't know that we're there yet. Is that anywhere near fair or on pace? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you just need to look at the data. So take a look at the Fortune 500 companies. Only 53 of those CEOs are women, only 6 African-American or Black individuals.
Why is that?
Well, I do think it comes very much from a theater perspective. So I look at, I spent a number of years working in technology and struggling to bring Latino, African-Americans, and it actually stems quite honestly from sort of middle school. So there needs to be like public-private partnerships to try and attract people into STEM, recognizing that it's possible for them. So when we look at trying to find those with college degrees to come into the workforce, they're not there. And so what I fear is, and now we hear a lot about the legacy admissions that are going to happen, and who you know matters, is going to become much more prevalent. So the challenge of finding those with the education that happen to be diverse to create these corporate, diverse, inclusive cultures is going to be the challenge.
Okay, so I love where you went with this. And by the way, Victoria Peltier is with us. She's best-selling author, speaker, talks about DEI. Victoria, I love where you went with this because you said it goes all the way back to middle school. So in a quest for some level of egalitarianism, how much could be put on the corporate world based off of decisions that were made back in middle school?
Well, this is where I think really progressive organizations have to start looking at doing things very differently to gain much more diversity. And so whether it's, and in full disclosure, I worked for IBM. One of the things that I loved that they did is invested, you know, in their P schools, where they actually went into middle schools and worked with local communities to attract, you know, underrepresented minorities into the STEM field. And so I think we're going to have to continue to focus on that as much as we're going to need to look at who gets admitted into universities.
So the who in Louisiana is merit based. I don't know how this plays out in other states, but when it's in Louisiana, there is no legacy basis. In Louisiana, there is no racial basis. It's 100%. Us in Louisiana, we're not going to be affected by this ruling one way or the other. But in other states, that I'm sure it still happens. The carryover to the corporate world, though, was there anything in the ruling that opens a door for the pendulum to swing in the opposite direction?
I think so. I think there might be some corporations who are going to leverage that ruling mm-hmm. for their own employee-based hiring and recruiting. That would be very sad and incredibly disappointing. The reality is there's no trade-off for business performance by doing the right thing, which is having a diverse employee population. It is shown to be more innovative, even boards who've got diverse board directors tend to have like greater lower risk within the organization, higher productivity because of engagement, results in top and bottom line benefits. So yes, to your question, Brian, I think the pendulum could swing by certain corporations, but I think that would be highly detrimental to the business benefits of doing it.
We're talking with Victoria Pelletier about the Supreme Court's ruling banning affirmative action in college admissions and whether or not corporate diversity is at risk here. Started in on that, expound on that with the potential negative effects of diversity being lessened or removed from the corporate world.
Well, so what we see is, and you'll often see DEI, this is the acronym we all know for diversity, equity, inclusion. D has been added for a sense of belonging. And so what we see is when there isn't not only a diverse population that's representative of the communities in which we work, the people, our neighbors, that people feel like they're the only. They feel like they don't belong. They can't be their authentic selves. And so what you see is it doesn't translate into them doing and being their best in the workplace. And when there's a sense of belonging and they feel like they're included, they're more engaged. They want to do more. They want to go above the 9 to 5 and deliver. And that results in incredible business results and also feels great for the employees. So, I mean, it truly is a win-win. And so I think if we're not focused on continuing to create diverse employee populations, then businesses and our colleagues, our neighbors will suffer.
Why? Okay, I'm trying to find the best way to ask this question. But the company's responsibility is to provide a great product, provide great service, and provide dividends for those who are invested in the company. At what point did inclusion and appreciation, and look, I'm not arguing the benefit of company being appreciated by your company or belonged by your company. The number one reason people leave a job isn't money. The number one reason people leave a job is they didn't feel appreciated. But when did these added responsibilities fall on the company rather than just the business at hand?
Well, you'll see a lot of it through legislation. And, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with that, whether it's the NASDAQ or the S&P that have required that needs to be gender diversity or other metrics for them to be listed on their exchanges. You see a lot of it from the UN ESG goals and initiatives. So companies want to align with that. So that's a big part of the reason why corporations are doing it. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Brian. It is about, particularly for public companies with shareholders that they need to deliver for. But the reality is having a strong, diverse, inclusive workplace delivers better business results. So you'd think they'd want to be doing it, not because they're legislated, not because they're following the UN ESG goals or initiatives, but because it actually does deliver great benefits to all of their shareholders.
You said it was you said it was 53 women and 6 minorities as CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies?
That's right.
Okay. These Fortune 500 companies, how many of them have DEI initiatives within them?
I'd imagine almost all of them.
Yeah.
I haven't done research on all of them, but the majority of them would.
So I'm curious as to how long this sort of, I don't want to say change, but growth would take. How long does it take for this sort of growth to take hold? Because I feel like this is a generational thing.
It is. That's my fear around this ruling now is we might start to step back and the needle has started to move nowhere where it needs to. As a woman who's been an executive for many, many years, mm-hmm. the World Economic Forum did a report last year that said gender parity in pay in North America still going to take 60 years to achieve parity. So we're very, very far from where we need to be. I just think this decision opens up, as you said, the pendulum to swing, and the needle isn't anywhere near where it needs to be now.
Okay, the problem with the pendulum swinging, and this is a problem with pendulums in general, is that when they swing in one direction, they'll continue to swing in the opposite direction once they reach a peak on one side. I can't help but wonder, 60 years after the civil rights movement, is it time to give us as a people the opportunity to let that pendulum rest at the bottom and do things organically, do things on our own?
I'd love to say that that we could do it on our own. But the reality is, even when there's been encouragement, whether it be legislation or otherwise, we're not there.
We are talking
with... I was just going to say, you know, look at Harvard's admissions. You know, so the African-American population in the U.S. is 31%, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Harvard admissions, even with affirmative action, 14%.
And Harvard was one of the cases that caused this. Harvard was one of the examples that caused this case in the first place. But it didn't have to. It didn't have to do with African American admissions. I believe it had to do with Asian American admissions.
Well, there's so that one's really interesting. And actually, I'm hearing now that there's some of the cases that were brought forward might not be legitimate. So it'll be really interesting to see that play out. I just quoted the stats around population for African Americans, Asians, 14% in the U.S. demographically, yet 27.9% of Harvard admissions are Asian.
So
interesting.
Yeah, but when it comes to this, we end up walking on eggshells to get around. When you talk about minorities, there are many, many, many different minorities, but it feels like in the corporate space, there's only, when it comes to diversity, we're only talking about Black Americans at this point. That is the conversation that rises to the top every single time.
I think things shifted, Brian. The reality is what you're saying, absolutely right. There are so many other kinds of diversity and intersectionality between different elements of diversity, whether it's ableism, it's sexuality, it's religion, it's all of these other elements. Post-George Floyd, that's where we've seen an extreme amplification and focus on our African-American neighbors.
So is it fair to every minority out there to have one particular portion of society rise to the top when it comes to the level of attention for what they are or are not getting when it comes to equity?
Fairness, when I think about the history of our African-American friends, neighbors, mm-hmm. For me, I struggle with. It's sort of like the conversation over Black Lives Matter didn't mean that all lives didn't matter. It just meant, you know, there's a time for us to focus on doing more and doing better. And so I think it's amplified the voices, the position, and the need to do more for African Americans. I don't think that it takes away from the rest of the population. I just think we're focused on a community who really needs the support.
We've got Victoria Pelletier for just a couple more minutes talking about the Supreme Court ruling. What's next? How does this play out in next steps to make that transition from the university world to the corporate world? Is there a testing of the waters that we're going to see?
Quite possibly. I think there will be. I mean, there's, as we talk about Fortune 500 companies, most of whom all have DEI programs, I think they will continue to remain or exist, but I think there might be a little less focus on it, potentially for some who might not be as progressive. I think they're going to leverage this ruling for sure, and I think we might see it in a variety of other areas as well. I mean, you look at the other ruling last week over, you know, from an anti-LGBT perspective and building, you know, a website and selling cupcakes and all these kinds of things. So I think we're going to see it spread potentially to a number of other places.
She is Victoria Pelletier. We appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Thanks for hopping on board.
Thanks, Brian.